You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Tucson show. Second hour. The middle hour.
Yes.
Of Husky Tuesday.
Fat Tuesday in my room. Husky Tuesday over there.
You guys are so shamed.
You don't know how to deal with it anymore.
You are. You let me talk to the PC committee here.
Fat Tuesday.
Trouble. Yeah. If you missed the first,
I didn't name it.
If you missed the first hour,
yeah,
it's already been quite a hoot. Tia Gloria called up.
Mm-hmm. About Mardi Gras and Lent.
Right.
And
how to persuade people.
Yes.
And then we talked about the good news story of the Zamboni driver that became a goalie in a hockey game and won the game for the Carolina Hurricanes. And then we talked with Nancy Johnson from the El Rio Health Center. And then we talked about, of course, what today's holidays are, the important things in the world.
See that.
Oh, and then, of course, that ducks are not safe in Pliskin Acres anymore.
But we do have the Tia Gloria challenge.
Yes.
For the 40 days of Lent now.
She would like two positive posts on your Facebook page.
If you're going to go to Facebook, yes. If you got to do it,
yeah,
make it good.
Even do one of those stupid memes with a cat, you know, hanging
yes.
off the branch that says, hang in there.
Yep.
Any of that junk will work too.
See?
So real quick, first of all, good morning to John Backer. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Pleasure to have you. John's running in District 4 primary, Republican primary for supervisor. I do want to get a Pima County story out here real quick just to kind of, you know, get the juices flowing mm-hmm. on Pima County.
Find the pump.
There's a guy running against Sharon Bronson, Juan Padres, in the Democrat primary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, Juan's doing his social media stuff, and I just want to congratulate Director of Communications and Propaganda, Mark Evans, for working on a Sunday.
Wow.
So, you know, he was in his Yoda pajamas, taking a break from, you know, something like maybe he's watching Lock and Key on Netflix. I'm thinking something like that. So Juan put a post on his Juan Padres for supervisor. Says our opponent has held this office for 30 years and has very little to show for it except a well-funded reelection campaign. Help us tell Sharon Bronson that the people of Pima County are tired of her spending more time looking out for her career than she does looking out for us. So then Mark Evans, Minister of Propaganda at Pima County, this is a Sunday at like in the afternoon. He says, little to show for it. Come on, man. You're better than that. And then Juan responded by saying District 3 is by far the poorest, most distressed, has the lowest home ownership rate, highest crime rate in Pima County. The people of D3 certainly don't see the results. It's time for positive change, and I think you would appreciate that too.
Absolutely. I wonder if he's working on Sunday because he's got his name on the list for a constable job.
You mean another guy in the media? Well, I think taking the constable job, first of all, you got to get reelected, and Mark, he's not working that hard.
Okay.
So he can just be the Minister of Propaganda for the next 20 years and get his pension and mm-hmm. rock it out, as we like to say. So anyway, taxpayers supported Mark V. Evans. Thank you for working on a Sunday to defend Sharon Bronson on a political post against her primary opponent. Because I'm going to tell you something, Mark Evans, the reporter, would probably say Sharon Bronson sucks at her job. But Mark Evans, the director of propaganda, she's like a mix of Golda Meir and Mary Tyler Moore. So thank you very much. Hey, where in the world does John Backer come from?
Well, I was born and raised in East Tennessee, and I came out here in 84 to be an aircraft electrician on the A-10. Spent 4 years at Davis-Monthan and then 3 years in the Guard working on F-7s and F-16s, rather.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Is that something you thought as a high school kid that was you wanted to get into maintaining and fixing stuff like that?
Well, funny story, you know, back when I was 13, many, many, many moons ago, the TRS-80 came out at Radio Shack, and I got involved with computers. And I was thinking all along I'd get involved with computers. And then as I was approaching the end of high school, It sounded like a good idea to go into the military to get some education benefits and serve my country.
Sure.
And I love jets, so I went in and did well in the ASVAB and became an electrician. And then after 4 years of being out in the hot Tucson sun, learning that you have to throw rags down on the top of an A-10 to kneel down on it to work on it.
Right.
I decided, yeah, I'm going to go this computer route. Went back to school and ended up getting two associates, a bachelor's and a master's degree.
Very nice. And so you've been for the last so many years, you've been doing a lot of that kind of tech work, right?
Right, right. I've got about 30 years of technology experience, ranging from writing a county treasurer system that was used in a fourth of the counties in the Arizona to spending the last 10 years up until last year working for IBM, where I traveled the world on a worldwide team using visual analytics to make sense out of large amounts of data to help my clients fight terrorism, fraud, waste, and abuse.
So politically, we know 4 years ago you ran for this seat previously in a primary.
Absolutely, yes.
And so what were the motivations then, or are they different now?
Well, in 2016, I decided, you know, I've been a lifelong Republican, but I want to get more involved. And so I got more involved in that race. And I jumped into the race late, but I didn't know what I didn't know at the time, but I learned a tremendous amount. I'm a quick learner, and a lot of people liked what they saw and heard back then. And then after I didn't make it through the primary last time, I stayed involved. I helped a number of candidates. I was named to serve as a planning and zoning commissioner for the town of Sarita. After Steve Christie took office, he appointed me to serve in the Board of Adjustments for District 4, and I've been active in the Republican Party, serving first as a third vice chair for LD2, and then recently being elected first vice chair, which I stepped down from to make this race. And then I'm a state committeeman for the Republican Party, and I've thrown my name in the hat to go to Phoenix for our state to nominate Donald Trump for the president, and also throw my name in the hat to go to the national convention to do the same.
So you were appointed by Steve to Board of Adjustment, but now you're running against Steve.
True. And
so
and
why?
Well, I'm running because there's been too many votes that have been 4-1 on the Board of Supervisors. Steve was on the wrong side of the issue of Prop 463, for example. He actively campaigned to raise our taxes in the form of that $430 million bond. I was one of a small band of us that competed against that to hold up the other side, to put up signs and so forth. And fortunately, we were able to win. We only had about $9,000 up against $277,000. So that's a great example that it doesn't always take the most money to win an issue. And, I like Steve. He's a gentleman. You know, back in 2016, when we appeared together, there was not a single time that he didn't take some of his time and call out my military service and Marla Clausen's as well. And that means a lot.
Yep.
He's a good guy in that regard. And then the day that I filed the paperwork to run against him, I went to his office, and it was late on a Friday. He wasn't there, but we later talked via email and by phone. And in the email I sent him, I offered my resignation from the Board of Adjustments. And he asked me to stay on. And I told him I appreciate that. I serve at your pleasure, and if at any point during this campaign that changes, you have my resignation whenever you want to accept it.
So, when we come back, let's talk about some two or three of the key 4-1 votes that you're most disappointed in.
Okay.
As part of your motivation here.
Absolutely.
All right, John Backer's here. Christy Simone. John, what's your email? Sorry, your website for your campaign.
Backbacker.org.
Look at that. Backbacker.org. I like that. That's clever. All right. John Backer's here. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. We're rocking it out on a Husky Tuesday. 7:21 in the morning. It's a Mardi Gras Tuesday. We're hanging out with John Backer. Backbacker.com? Is that
.org.
.org. Sorry.
Yeah.
.org. So I teased before we went to listen to some of our sponsors here at 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Also, before I ask this question, this hour of Wake Up brought to you by our great friends at Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block Company. They have three great locations: Wetmore, Valencia, Sierra Vista, the best in manufactured bricks, blocks, and pavers. Now, 4-1 votes. You mentioned some 4-1 votes that Steve was on, Steve Christie, mm-hmm. that you were kind of disappointed in and helped motivate you to run for this seat again. What are a couple of those votes that you felt a little bummed out by?
Well, what started all of it for me was, you know, I went before the board when Prop 463 was going to be put on the ballot.
Yep.
And spoke to the board and urged them not to go that route. Steve voted 4-1 to put it on the ballot, and I thought that's where it was going to stay from his perspective. But he actively went out and campaigned against, or for it, rather,
right.
while I worked against it. So that was one. And then after all that was ended, I did a call to the audience to tell Steve that we were disappointed that he would support such a thing. So he was on the wrong side of that one. And then the thing that really threw me over the top was his support of using certificates of participation for the Diamond Ventures deal out east, you know, the $16 million, I believe it was, to build infrastructure for Rocking K. Every other developer pays for that themselves. There's absolutely no reason why county building should be mortgaged and that money given to a developer. And they might try to call it a loan, you know, being paid back with user fees or something. But fact of the matter is, if we came up with $16 million, the vast majority believe, as I believe Allie Miller does, that should be going to the roads. That's the thing that people are out there always screaming about. And then most recently, too, the Banner sublease. I don't see how anybody who supports Allie Miller, for example, could also like the fact that Supervisor Christie supported that deal where we lease the Keno Hospital to the Banner UA folks for $10 a year. That's a problem in and of itself. But then to allow them to sublease 3,200 square feet of that property to Southwest Ambulance. And some folks who aren't familiar with that issue might think, oh, so maybe they're going to collect five of the $10, you know, in leasing that, or maybe all 10 and recoup their cost.
Right.
But they're collecting $45,000 in rent. So Banner knows the value of what they've got their hands on and using, keeping that money, not passing it back to the taxpayers.
Tell me about the Southwest Ambulance part of this deal. Tell me about that again one more time.
Well, Southwest Ambulance, you know, obviously working with a hospital.
Right.
And it's a good thing for them to be nearby, obviously, for obvious reasons.
Right.
But, you know, 3,200 square feet of that complex that was, you know, basically given to Banner UA is subleased. And it was just recently approved, and Steve supported that. To let them keep the $45,000 when it's effectively gifted to Banner to start with.
So, of course, I don't know if he still works for them, but, of course, Ramon Valadez used to work for Southwest Ambulance.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
So that's something to dig into. Mm-hmm. Not that we do any crony work in Pima County.
Right.
I think the other thing, too, as a guy who was on the Pima County Transportation Advisory Committee, the other part, you know, that did disappoint me was how District 1 got screwed.
Absolutely.
On how they were spending that local money.
Absolutely.
And that was also a 4-1 vote.
It was. And there's several out there. That's just a couple of the ones that really popped to the top. You know, I think...
And there's some things I like that Steve's done, don't get me wrong, but mm-hmm. that one, just because I was in the middle of it,
right,
was very disappointing.
And you know, just to say it to your audience, I've got nothing against Steve personally at all. It's just the votes, just the record to stand on. And a lot of the doors I've went and knocked on, they're voicing that disappointment. And I think we're all better when we're put in a situation to compete. Competition makes us all better. And I think the competition in this primary is healthy for the party and for Pima County to get the ideas out there and to talk through them and debate the issues and hold our elected officials accountable for their actions.
If you get elected to this seat, what are one or two ideas that you have of maybe certain things that you might introduce as a supervisor to make things better for the human beings and taxpayers of Pima County?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we need to stop these crony deals that are done in the shadows. Many of these deals that come up, like some of the ones we just talked about, there's a lot more for U of A. You know, the leasing them the courthouse floor in the new building for $5 a year, for example. I think the county, based on the types of rent they're trying to charge their tenants, should get out of the landlording business. Clearly, it's not a business they understand. There's a value associated with that property. And when we give it away, I wonder what in the shadows is being given back. And we need to stop that type of thing. And the $100 million roughly that we get from the state and HERF and VLT, it needs to go to the roads. It goes to everything but now, as you know all too well from your service on that commission, people are tired of the roads being poor and failing condition. 70% of our roads being in poor or failed condition didn't happen overnight. It's taken decades to get there. And we need to hold that to account, and we need to get that money to the roads. $36 million last year is the most money that's been spent in decades. And that all came about after we defeated Prop 463, where the folks on the yes side of that said this is the only way we can get the roads fixed. Well, right. Surprise. Just like when we vote no on bonds, they do it anyway and say, oh, they were opposed to the funding mechanism.
So as I like to say, anyone, I don't know if Steve regurgitated that line that this is the only way to get roads done or not. I don't know if you can...
I don't know for
all
sure.
Right, but any of these SALCers or things like that that came out that said, this is our last chance. If you don't give us the 463 money and increase your taxes, we're never going to find money to fix a road.
Right.
So my take was either you were in on the bullcrap
right.
or you were duped.
Right.
So Tucson's leaders, please tell me if you were in on the lie
right.
or you were duped by Chuckleberry.
Right. Right.
It's either one or the other, because there is no other explanation.
It is, right? And then one of the key things that I think Supervisor Miller's done really well, a good job of, is communicating with her constituents. And I think that's really the best way in a minority situation to get the word out there and put the pressure on these folks to do the right thing. You know, she sends out her monthly newsletters, the videos, thank God, because so many people wouldn't even know what's going on if it wasn't for those videos.
As I like to say, Huckleberry's video that he has of the meetings, it's like the Zapruder film from the JFK assassination.
Mm-hmm.
That's the quality of it. All right, real quick, we're going to run out of time. Please tell the people of District 4 why they should vote for you in the upcoming primary in August.
Because I have an R by my name, which stands for Republican, but more importantly, it's reliable. I am going to vote reliably for the things that all of you want and need, and not for these crony deals. Use your tax dollars the right way, because you're taxed too much and you're not getting good value for the taxes you're paying, and we're going to change that.
Backbacker.org.
Yes, sir.
See, Chris can learn after a while. Well, John, keep doing what you're doing. You've been very active over the years, and good luck in the race.
All right. Thank you very much.
That's John Backer. He's running for Pima County Board of Supervisors, District 4. Check out backbacker.org. We come back. We got so many stories to get to. We got to get to the city council person who said the crosswalks are too far away when we come back. Wake up.
What?
Look at us.
Woo! Ba-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-da. Strutting down Bourbon Street. There we go.
Look at us.
Woo!
This is
couple of beads on. I'm ready.
You do have your beads on.
New Orleans beans.
Shake them in the microphone a little bit more so people really. Oh, look at that.
Beans are a little candid on there.
That's when you went for the Final Four?
Final Four. What does it say? Does it say what year it is? I can't read it. It's too damn close. So, no, it doesn't say. A couple of years ago.
The. Just Chris's reflections on.
Okay.
On New Orleans.
Mm.
It's a party town.
Yes.
It's a dirty town.
Dirty. Yes. That friend just came back beginning of January. Said, it's dirty.
If you got any New Orleans stories, give us a call, 790-2040. So let me tell you this story.
It's fun for a day or two.
Let me tell you a New Orleans story. I've told this one
don't
before.
Don't go out after dark.
There's two related. It's kind of funny. So I'm there for this conference. Deb and I go out. We meet some other people from, I think they're like from the Colorado Office of Tourism, whatever. Mm. They're very nice people. So we go out for dinner that night on Bourbon Street. Okay. It's like a Saturday, Sunday night of Memorial Day weekend. Okay. And the we just do Bourbon Street. It's a freak show.
It is. It's a freak show.
Freak
exactly.
show. And I always love with the freak show of Bourbon Street how many people, you could see like they drove in from the outside of New Orleans, and they got the husband and the wife, they both got their giant frozen hurricane.
Got it. Yep,
right.
From what's his name's place.
Well, you know, they got all those machines, those little, yes, those dispensing machines.
It's on
like,
the corners.
It's like an icy machine, right? But
exactly.
It has rum, okay, frozen rum hurricanes in it. And a hurricane is a heck of a flavor combo. Rum with guava or whatever, it's a winner. Okay.
Don't do too many.
All right. But I love the mom and dad with the 4-year-old and the little kid in the stroller.
Ooh.
Roaming around Bourbon Street at 11:30 at night. Like they're going to Disney World. Look at that.
Don't do it.
I'm like, whoa.
Don't do it.
So what's interesting is that night on Bourbon Street was so rocking with the music and everything and the freak show that we never actually had to go into a place. I didn't have to go into a place because the music was rocking on the street. And so what would happen is I would get a drink from one of those things just outside. And of course it's legal to open carry your cocktail in New Orleans. Okay. So we spend, I don't know, a couple hours, but I never went into a place. I did not go into a smoke filled anything. I was outside the entire evening.
Okay.
So I'm staying at my hotel room. I'm by myself, so I'm in bachelor mode kind of thing. And I was staying at a hotel that had one of those valet things, right? And I take my clothes off and I just throw them on the valet. I go take a shower, get into a pair of shirts and, you know, t-shirt and shorts, and I'm going to try to go to sleep, and I go, what the hell is that? Now, don't get me wrong, I understand my own stink, right, as a sweaty Italian, but this was a stink I'd never smelled before.
Yeah.
It was literally just the humidity and the stink of Bourbon Street permeated my clothes.
Yep.
That I literally had to grab I'm not a guy who does the dry cleaning at the hotel.
No, you're not.
But I had to. So I literally got the bag with the dry cleaning, put the clothes in it, tied it up tight, and threw it in the bathtub because I couldn't go to sleep. The stink of Bourbon Street on me was so bad. Imagine if I really went out for debauchery, how this would happen, right? I was just like a spectator watching the freaks, right? So next morning, wake up, and I go to, it had to be Saturday, because the next morning I went to Mass at St. Louis Cathedral on Jackson Square. And beautiful. As I'm walking from my hotel over there, you get to see all the high-powered hoses washing off Bourbon Street for the night.
Right. Absolutely.
It's like Noah and the flood. And so beautiful Mass at St. Louis. And then I end up at Café Du Monde, right, which is the place that makes the beignets and the café au lait.
The best.
All right. You know, fried dough pillows and coffee.
I'll take it.
And they were just the... It was so funny. I got a Sunday Louisiana Times Picayune newspaper, and I was going to go sit on the patio at Café Du Monde after Mass, and they had the angriest little women as servers ever. They literally, she's like, what do you want?
You're supposed to know what you want when you get up there. Come on.
I'm like, you're harshing my whole thing here, girl. But the beignets and the coffee were just fine.
Can't beat it.
79020.
So we went during for the Final Four, and
yes,
it was a fun time because everybody was there for basketball and they all had their colors on, and it was just families and college and it was tons of fun.
Sure.
Okay, and when we were there for a couple of days, and we did Bourbon Street, the first thing off the plane, go to the hotel room, go down Bourbon Street and have Pat O'Brien's. That's where it was, the hurricane, and then
sure,
I couldn't walk after. Well, my wife says, I can't drink this. I said, I'll drink it for you. Don't you worry about it. So then
she had a carrier rear end down the street.
There you go. But anyhow, you know, and it's Larry Flint all on one side. Okay. It is. He owns that whole one side of Bourbon Street. So it's all, it's ugly. On the other side are the restaurants, but you can't get in because it's busy. And, it, you know, so you keep walking and walking. But you got to do it. You got to do Bourbon Street if you go there. And I guess you have to do the World War II Museum, which I haven't yet. And if I ever go back, I certainly will. But so then they had the cops. Did they have the cops up when you were there? So they had the cops on horseback going up and down the streets and the sidewalk. So watch where you're going, drunk boy. You know what I mean? And they had the cops up in those big tower things
right,
that are on the...
It's like the guard towers at Stalag 13.
Yes, yes, and you can't see in them, and they're watching everybody's every move. This is on one street, man. It's like, you know, they know what's going on. That's Bourbon Street, but you got to do it once, but do it in the daytime, because people get really obnoxious and do obnoxious things at nighttime.
Let's get to some calls, and I'm going to tell you my favorite, why I love what. The only time I ever watched the show Cops is during Mardi Gras.
Really?
Let's go to, what do you got there?
Teacher Andrew.
Teacher Andrew, what's going on, sir?
Hey, my friend, how are you?
Living the dream.
Mardi Gras to you. Yeah, hey, I went to Louisiana Tech. I'm a New England boy, so I stuck out like a sore thumb in the Deep South, all right?
So my wife's a girl from Maine who mm-hmm. did some years in Baton Rouge, so I think she feels your pain.
Uh-huh. You stick out like a sore thumb, I tell you what. But I was Mardi Gras 92, I survived. I was there with my then-fiancé, who is a Louisiana local. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. And we ended up doing both over 2 days. Okay. Mm. The wrong way was went Monday night, which is Lundi Gras, and the only way you can tell one night from another is just the time. It's all one 24-hour party going on nonstop.
Sure.
And the wrong way is to go into the French Quarter. Okay.
Right.
And going down Bourbon Street, it is Sodom and Gomorrah.
It is.
I mean, I didn't want to look. I didn't try to look. I mean, there's just stuff you don't need to be seeing. And I wasn't Correct. Even drinking. I mean, I'm not much of a drinker, so I was totally sober. Maybe it would have helped if I didn't have a clarity. But, you know, everybody's wigged out on hurricanes and a whole lot worse. Mm-hmm. You know, people peeing in the streets, people exposing themselves. That wasn't a whole lot of fun. And the person we were with, it was not as reliable as we thought. So we ended up getting abandoned there, stranded there, down near the section where you started. Well, you're happy not knowing.
Yeah. Thank you. We appreciate your discretion.
Yeah, I'd rather keep a license. Anyway, it was ugly. So we got called for a cab, paid an exorbitant fee to get out of there. So the next day, did it the right way, which is if you don't go to the French Quarter, you go into the more of the family areas outside of the quarter. And the parades, everything's more family-oriented. People are dressed up in costumes, barbecuing with little portable hibachis, having a great time. That was the right way.
Okay.
And if you're going to follow some of the parades, I should say that Zulu and some of the others are known to take alternate routes. I mean, if you're going to do any sort of parade, let's say if you're going to do the rodeo parade here, you know it's supposed to start on this street and end on that street, and this is the path. Not so with all of them there. They may take a detour and head off somewhere you had no idea, and you're chasing the parade down. It is insane.
I love it.
We are glad to be, alive and live to tell the story because, like I said, there's a right way and a wrong way. The family section was just beautiful. It was a lot of fun, and it was great.
Awesome, sir. Thanks for sharing that advice and the stories.
Information,
awesome.
Yeah.
Sure, you'll be well.
You too, Teacher Andrew.
Thank you.
So, Cops. I never watch Cops. I'm not into such misery. But I always love Cops on Mardi Gras. It's always the best. Because what happens is they always have the same sentence shows up over and over again, right? So they got the camera following the guy, right? And there's the guy's from Columbus, Ohio, naked, and he's stuck. He's sitting in a garbage can or something like that, right? And the guy who's ever the parish police guy goes, "All right, come over here. Come over here. All right, give me your ID," right? And the guy always, this is the magic line. He looks at it and he goes, "All right, I don't know how they do things in Columbus, Ohio, but here in Jefferson Parish, we do not take our clothes off and sit in the garbage can." Right. And then the next one is there's the two girls running down the alley with a joint in their mouth with their tops off. Right. And he goes, "All right, come over here, ladies. Come over here. Let me see your IDs." Right. And he goes, "I don't know how they do things in Portland, Oregon, but the ladies in Jefferson Parish do not run down the street with their tops off, you know, with a big joint in their mouth. So you're going to have to spend the night in jail. So thank you very much. Thanks for enjoying Mardi Gras." And that's the whole show.
Yeah.
Is people from out of town usually acting like a jackass, and the guy says, "I don't know how they do something in blank, but here in Jefferson Parish, we don't do that."
Perfect.
When we come back, a city councilwoman tells Natalie Darren Jolie from KGun9 that the crosswalks are too far away.
Oh, there you go.
No, that's for reals. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Oh, what?
He holds his guitar like a Tommy gun.
I didn't know he was going to say that. That's my guy Elvis. Come on, man.
Hold on.
King Creole.
Mark Kelly's coming after us.
There you go.
7:51 in the morning. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mary. Mary, welcome to Mardi Gras Tuesday on Wake Up Tucson.
Hi, and I love the Husky Tuesday. That's great. I've never heard that before.
I don't want to make anyone feel bad. You're Husky. You know, that's what happens.
I agree. I grew up in New Orleans. Love Mardi Gras. I have to say I haven't been back in many years, but I do have a son in town in New Orleans right now who is probably celebrating Mardi Gras on St. Charles Avenue.
Nice.
A couple things I wanted to say. People enjoy king cakes. I'm assuming
yes.
You found out about the king cakes.
Absolutely.
This year, we decided to buy a king cake from the bakery that did our wedding cake. They're called Gambino's, and they have several locations in New Orleans. The cake was amazing.
Oh, so they shipped it here?
They shipped it here.
Okay.
Shipping is astronomically high. This was the last year. I will be shipping a cake to any of my children or friends because it just costs too much. But their cakes are amazing. Mardi Gras can be dangerous, but it's also very family-oriented. Like your previous caller said, if you know where to go, Mardi Gras starts about 2 weeks before Husky Tuesday.
Thank you.
And there are lots of parades in the suburbs like Metairie or the West Bank. There are others, I'm sure. I'm just not up on the neighborhoods. But I have very fond memories of hanging out near the railroad station, which I'm not even sure is still a railroad station anymore. It may be a Greyhound bus station for all I know.
Sure.
But my family would go there early in the morning and watch parades. My parents, of course, would leave long before all the carnage started. And, people would cook big meals, red beans and rice, gumbo, things like that. But you do have to know where to go. Don't go anywhere near Bourbon Street. I wouldn't even go in the late afternoon of Mardi Gras Day because my son's friend was pickpocketed in the middle of the day on Bourbon Street.
Sure.
So people are getting pickpocketed at Pliskin Acres, so don't feel too bad. So locally, of course, on a king cake, the organization that has made the greatest dedication to king cake availability, and they do a nice job, is Beyond Bread.
Oh, that's right.
That's what I've heard. And I also called the parish before I started ordering cakes this year.
Right.
And I understand they're serving it today. But my understanding was they weren't necessarily having it.
Yeah, today's the parish's Super Bowl today over at the parish.
You bet.
So, hey, Mary, thanks for the recollections. And thank you for supporting me on Husky Tuesday, no matter what Ed says.
Can we do big and tall now?
Thanks, Mary. Have a great Mardi Gras.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, Mary.
All right, we got to get to this. Let's get to this clip real quick. Ed. This is thinking of the Gambinos. Like she said, the Ed was so excited. He thought Gambinos was in Tucson. He's like,
we're gonna look it up.
There's a bakery called Gambinos in Tucson. It's the greatest thing ever. Let's get over to KGun9, Natalie Tarangioli. I bet she orders from Gambinos.
Hey.
This is about the city of Tucson's changing the name of the transportation department. Let's go.
There we go.
Have died on Tucson roads, including two today. Those deaths are one of the top reasons why the city council unanimously passed this name change.
There's so many different.
Ward 1 council member Lane Santa Cruz wants to see car lanes, bike lanes, and sidewalks on every road in Tucson.
It's time that we do better for our community and that we take serious the safety
of everybody.
She recently made the motion to make the Tucson Department of Transportation the Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility. Mm. The name change is just the start of a plan to change the overall mission of the department. Santa Cruz says many of TDOT's priorities have been made to benefit drivers, but not pedestrians or bicyclists.
Something happens sometimes behind the wheel where you just kind of like detach yourself from your environment, from, you know, your surroundings, the other people around you. And it's something that happens in no other role that you move, you know, throughout the day.
Another one of Santa Cruz's top priorities, fixing neighborhood roads and having designated areas for all modes of transportation to use.
Or sometimes crosswalks are too spread apart. And then people get hit crossing the street, and then you're like, well, why weren't you at the crosswalk? It's like, well, the nearest crosswalk is half a mile away. You know, it just doesn't make any sense.
Santa Cruz says she walks to work and bikes when she can to try to put herself in other people's shoes to see what could be done to make Tucson
safer. She walks downtown, big deal.
So how do have better planning and better plans and better investments to keep our community safe?
All of this is just the beginning of Move Tucson, which city officials plan to spend time out in the community.
Yeah.
Shut down, Natalie.
Yeah,
thank
exactly.
You,
so if you change the name from the Department of Transportation to the Department of Mobility, that's going to fix it all, is what Lane said.
So what here's a couple of things here.
What a dense rock.
So here we go.
In a city council chair.
So think about it. So the story said, all these things have been done to benefit drivers. Hey, drivers out there, driving around the city, are you feeling like there's all this work benefiting you?
Yeah. I'll give you having a good time. Yeah.
As your Toyota Camry's stuck in a pothole the size of a coffin.
That's Jack Furrier. Yeah.
Are you feeling all those benefits?
Then
the other one is, you crossed on a dark night right across the street into traffic, and you said, "Well, I can't use the crosswalk; it's a half mile away." Stop it!
You know, up in the United States of America, which is 50 miles north of the border, we have stinking rules. That's why we have crosswalks painted.
So I think
on the other side, not so much.
What Lane would like is literally close down a lot of roads to traffic if she could. Okay? And what are we going to do, Lane? Are we going to do a crosswalk every 10 yards?
There you go.
You imagine you're going up Campbell, right? And every 10 yards there's a crosswalk.
Brilliant. This is the first thing we hear from her.
There is no personal responsibility.
Right.
There is no responsibility on the city for making it so crappy. Okay? And the idea that, you can't walk a couple of blocks to the crosswalk?
Please.
As the great Polly Holiday said in Alice, the TV show, kiss my grits. All right. Perfect on a Husky Tuesday talking about grits. Mm. We're going to go to break. Mm. Josh Nicholson's going to be here. He is an Oro Valley council being.
They do roads pretty good up on Oro Valley.
They do, and we don't have too many people getting run over.
Not usually.
We have less people.
Imagine that.
We also have less folks on opioids.
Living on the sidewalk, yeah.
So, and then we have Greg, our production wizard. He's got a Pliskin Acres story he wants to get off his chest.
The guy finally drives through Pliskin Acres, and he goes, I can't believe it. Well, no. Guess
it's,
what?
He believes it. He believed it before. He just really believes it more than ever. Wake up.